Our gospel this morning is from Luke 19, beginning at the 28th verse. After he said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Something just caught my eye this morning as we were singing, "He Came Riding on a Donkey." I asked Allison if we could do this piece because I didn't know it, and I knew that you did. And wow, is it ever a fun song. And as I was singing along, I got tripped up on a phrase in the second verse, which is in the sort of halfway down. "Timid adults strained to see him, caught the spirit, joined in song." And I'm going, well, wow, is that ever neat? Because catching the spirit is what I'm trying to do with you every Sunday. And here I see that we're singing about timid adults catching the song and joining in and joining along. And I'd like to carry that with me through the coming week for sure. You know, it's kind of an odd week because we're starting with a party. That's always a nice way to start. And if you know the story, you know that during the week there are going to be tensions that build and build and build until Jesus takes his friends together and has a meal with them, a common meal, and takes bread and wine and blesses it and shares it with them. And washes their feet, shows them how to be disciples, how to serve, as well as gather, and then is arrested and goes before the Roman courts and the religious courts. And the Romans don't find any reason for Jesus to be killed, but of course the religious courts have lots of reasons why they would like Jesus silenced or taken out or put away, just get rid of him. So on Sunday, on Saturday, I decided that I would contact a friend of mine later last week who's Jewish and ask if I could go to the synagogue and worship with them because I realized that Jesus came to Jerusalem when we read the scripture because it was the season of Passover. Passover was going to be celebrated. And my friend said, sure, that would be just dandy. He says, we're doing the story of Esther. And I went, wow, Esther. Cool, we know the story of Esther. How does that fit in with Passover, which is Moses and the people leaving Egypt? So after the service, which was over 3 hours long, and I have never been in a place where from 9:30 on a Saturday morning until 12:30, I have not thought of time at all. I did not think of of anything but where I was and what the people were doing and how I was relating. And I found that very strange, especially since they were doing everything in Hebrew, and I don't do any religion well, and I don't do Hebrew well. And it was written for me in Hebrew, too, if I wanted to follow along. But they did have English as well. And for a while, my friend would say, page 621, page 623. And then after a while, he said, do you want me to keep doing this? And I said, no, no, thank you. I just want to be part of this. And I don't care what you're saying. Because I could join in without understanding what they were saying or why they were saying it. Just seemed to be a very, very holy time. So I'd invite you to a Good Friday service when my friend has helped me to write a service which might be similar to, not similar, have a little bit of a Jewish funeral service style to it, and where someone from our very own congregation, so lucky, is going to help with the service in ways that will help us to feel that we're in a funeral with Jesus at 10 o'clock on Friday. Here we are on Palm Sunday. We're having a celebration. Jesus has just come into town. He's coming in through the gates back there, just as over at another gate, the king is coming in. The king is coming in on his big white horse with all his Roman soldiers around him and behind him and the army. And here comes Jesus. And Jesus is coming through the gate on a donkey, and there's not pomp and ceremony, but the hearts have been stirred, and people are joining in all sorts of ways. They're grabbing whatever they have. In this particular reading, they don't seem to have palm branches, but see, we could grab whatever we had if we thought Jesus was coming right now and having a parade, and that's what the people were doing. The children joined in, people dropped their pretenses and their questions and followed in joy, because here came a man who people thought was going to make change. And today we're sitting in a world, part of a world, where we are also challenged and confronted with the ways that we see in our world. And it might be a very different context, but we too are looking for ways to make that change so that everyone can celebrate together. We say that Jesus is the deliverer who comes to bring peace, the peace of God. He didn't come to be a political hero, and that frustrated a lot of people, the ones who really wanted somebody to just wipe out the Romans. They'd been for 70 years in their area, and they just wanted them removed. But he did challenge Rome, even though he didn't pick up a sword, even though on the night that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the sword was used. He said, stop that. That's not what this is about. The only way we're going to bring peace is by sharing the bread, sharing the cup, coming together and sharing our ideas of our needs and making that a reality. In this week, Jesus shows us that salvation, our wholeness, coming together within one's body and soul and spirit and mind for good, salvation comes even in the face of death. Do you remember at the cross, Jesus says, I just want to get this right. He says to John, behold your mother. So to John, he's saying, I want you to look after my mom just like she was your mom. I've cared for her for a long time in many ways and loved her deeply, and that's what I need you to do for me. And he also said, John, behold your mother. John, this woman has cared for me her whole life. Please accept her wisdom and her caring. And Mom, you don't have to worry, because John's going to be just like I was to you, and he's going to love you just as much. John, don't be worried. The son is dying. The best friend is dying. But you'll have each other. And I think that's important, because Jesus shows us that even in the very worst of times, we can make connections. And sometimes he's there to tell us that in words that we can hear. And sometimes it comes through a still, small voice as we're laying in bed worrying at night. Or in a shout of hallelujah as we're having a shower, and suddenly we just think, wait a minute, it doesn't have to be this way. What good can come of this? So God's kingdom, Jesus is showing us, comes through self-giving relationships. So there's palms, there's a parade, there's meals, there's a cross. And through all of these pieces, we find the heart of God being poured out for us, so that we may find a way to be united. United in loving communion with God, with ourselves, and with our neighbor. A nonviolent way to become whole. Well, it might be a challenge for us. We look at our own lives, and we are, you know, they say we are what we eat. I can vouch for that. But we are also part of a culture. And I believe that the very air we breathe, we just soak the culture in so that it becomes so much part of us that we cannot tell, like, what's of God and what's of culture. I was here just a couple of weeks last September when somebody said something to me, and I don't remember what it was, but I do believe it was here in the sanctuary. And I replied with, well, even the air we breathe, I mean, it's all culture. And I'm going, afterwards, I think I should have said more at that point, because it didn't really come across too clearly. But I really believe that the air we breathe goes into our lungs and through our blood and our body. And then sometimes if we don't question it, we end up believing what we've heard, what we've been told, you know, all the old fear stereotypes, and we never question. So we just accept the culture rather than questioning through the eyes of Jesus. So it's the gift of God that's given to each one of us that brings our salvation. In the coming days, we see the depths of God's love poured out for us on the cross. It's a gift that we're asked to be challenged by, to ponder, to share. It's a gift that's offered to each one of us, no matter who we are, no matter our age, our gender, any of those things, what color we like. And it's through that we too become resurrected. It's through that too that we are offered new life and transformation. And that, my friends, is something to have a real parade about.